Welcome back to Down to Brass Tacks. Yeah, Peter, with all these loans that Barbados has been committed to, would it mean now that Barbados would never be in a position to repay, which is a result of Barbados being owned and run by creditors and foreign investors? Gem gone, Barbados gone too. P.S., how come I haven't heard you getting any big picks under this administration? It seems that you were closely knitted. Well, the second one I can't answer, I didn't know that there was any big pick plans, so nothing like that in the air for me. I'm a political consultant, and I continue to do that, which is my calling. As regards the first point, I think that certainly is a big part of the reason why we are trying to do this restructuring of the debt, so that we can set realistic timelines to be able to get out of the debt. And we have several major commitments that need to be rescheduled. Low interest rates, longer payment periods, repayment periods, so that we can begin to chart a course towards our political independence. It seems entirely reasonable. I just wanted to mention again this forum that is happening tomorrow at the University of the West Indies. If I can get the information up. Yeah, tomorrow at the University of the West Indies, the Moot Theatre, the UWA Caulfield campus, and it is at 6:30 p.m. Owen Arthur, Right Honorable Owen Arthur, Miss Cecilia Barr, Professor Avinash Prasad, and Miss Barbara Langdon Thompson, and they're talking about economic challenges in Barbados and you. How will you be affected? The moderator is Miss Taitu Heron. And I should make a point that for the hearing impaired, the sign language facilities are being provided. So there is a facility catering for the hearing impaired, so you would be able to follow what is happening. Make sure and be there. Down to Brass Tacks, good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Peter.
Hey, good afternoon.
Oh, blessed be my
yes,
brother.
Yes, sir. How are you doing? Good, yes. Blessed be to you, too.
I have there are three matters on which I want to make a brief comment. As a parallel comment to the caller, the last caller, but one, with the matter of the story about with Maria, with the piece on the back page. The lady who came to Barbados to invest in the rehab center that was looking to lease Villanova, establish a center, she did say that she was approached with a bribe. And because she said she wanted to do things legal and upright, and this is reported in the press, that she found all sorts of stumbling blocks in her way because she was not willing to pay a bribe and a kickback. Mm-hmm. So maybe Mr. Pisa can energize herself and to really find out the story behind that, since it would have happened under
the
BLP. I have stood around a long time and listened and heard people call and attempt to pillory you for stating your position as being an atheist. But I'm going to be even more controversial today, Peter, and I'm going to stand in your corner and say that you are more likely to be right than to be wrong. The truth is that it is very likely that there is no God, that we were created by an alien species. I wouldn't go into that now considering the time factor, but I wouldn't mind being challenged at all. In fact, I would relish being challenged by any member of the hierarchy of the church in Barbados, and I would prefer it to be the Roman Catholic Church so I can get into the icons of the Sumerian icons and the Freemason icons that the Catholic Church still has. And still expound. So I am willing to undertake that challenge. I mean, there are so many cases in the Bible that I have heard you, yourself, bring to members of the public to demonstrate that this God that they worship, you know, is not beyond question. I mean, two girls, which is, of course, the tribe of Canaan, the tribe of Canaan. So, I mean, and there are too many things in the Bible that I don't blame the people, though. I blame the preachers, because the preachers don't explain things in context. Look at Abraham. Jehovah took Abraham and his family and said, go to this country in which I will send you. They didn't get an idea of going first, but he didn't have GPS. And then in the very next line in the Bible, it says God waited in ambush to kill him. So, I mean, there are so many contradictions in the Bible that you are most likely to be on good and solid ground. So if they want to, they can stop delirying you and they can start attacking me, because my shoulders are broad. I would relish the situation with them doing that. Okay. So Peter, don't get terrified. No,
not at all. I get excited by good conversation and by good debate, because that's what this program is all about. The sad thing is that most of the believers who will call on the program and respond to you or respond to me, they essentially call arm with the Bible, and they say that, you know, what you're saying ain't true because at this point and this point the Bible says so. While they don't engage the critical point that you are making or the critical point that I am making, which is really the substance of what I would consider to be a good, exciting debate. The reality is it's hard to debate belief. You know, I don't and you do, and it's hard. Well, you don't and I don't, but some do. And it's hard for them to debate a belief that's based on something that is a conviction that you feel. It's hard to do.
Yeah, but the document or the alleged religious document that they revere, truth is that the document is really myths. Mm-hmm. And a lot of the myths in that coalesce to make up the Bible come from Sumerians and come from a lot of different sources. For example, the first person that ever thought about this single God was Zoroaster. Mm-hmm. Now, how many Christians you can go into church Sunday morning and they can tell you about Zoroaster and his relationship to this one God philosophy? I mean, the Jews had hell, even Moses and all of them had hell to get the Israelites to worship mm-hmm. one God. There was worshiping Baal, there was worshiping Moloch, there was worshiping Astaroth. I mean, there was a whole heap of gods. You would worship one God when you get good sunshine and get a good crop, and you would pray to another god if one of the children died with disease overnight, or if you had a drought. Mm. You know, so this concept of this one God thing, these preachers and barbers really need to stand up on the Sunday and to defend some of these things to their own congregations. And the greatest anomalies and contradictions are presented among the apostles themselves. The apostles themselves present these anomalies. Okay. So, you know, it is really amusing sometimes, only because I am versed on the facts that, you know, then I hear people call you and attempt to pillory you, you know? You stand on solid ground that maybe even you don't know the solid ground you stand on.
I think I have ideas there. Thanks for calling, huh? No, I'm smiling because someone just sent me something on the chat. And essentially, I was of the opinion that I was talking foolishness just now about putting things in condoms. But apparently, there's something called Johnny Five, and it's alive. It's a smart condom that rates your bedroom skills, your penis size, and even checks for sexually transmitted infections. It's called the Icon, a smart condom, which is like a Fitbit for your penis, providing all the stats that men need to assess their sexual abilities in bed. A British company claims to have created the world's first smart condom, which rates gentlemen's performances and helps to detect STIs. The Icon smart condom is like Fitbit, but for your penis. It provides the statistics that you need to assess your sexual prowess. Data includes duration of intercourse, calories burnt, number and speed of thrusts, girth measurements, and different proportions used per week, per month, or per year. It would also help you to detect sexually transmitted diseases such as chlamydia and syphilis. What will they think of next? Dr. Brass Tacks, good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Peter.
Good afternoon, sir.
I wonder if we'll get an invitation for this balcony view to look at the ships coming in and so on and have a conversation with you so we can get into some discussion of some of the RF frequencies, the invisible ones that you don't see that can harm you.
So you think some of them might be coming from the boats in the port up to me?
Not necessarily, but there's technology out there, Peter, that if you had to have a good, perhaps
so
a good explanation.
What these RF frequencies going to do to me? They're going to shorten my life? They're going to make me impotent?
All right. All of those are possibilities, huh?
Seriously?
Depending on the level, huh? Peter, I know it's a subject matter that you perhaps are not as versed.
No, I don't have a difficulty in hearing, but my thing is, I would like to hear some evidence. You know, what exactly is the evidence suggesting that these frequencies are going to kill me in 10 years?
That information is not known as to the time window will take, but they can in fact harm you. If you
or alternatively, will they affect my body from functioning the way it should?
That is also possible because you're accepting. Would you accept that you have your cellular structure, that cellular levels that are going on in your body that are invisible to the eye, and that's what you're made of?
I don't doubt that. Yeah.
Okay. So these things affect you at a cellular level
and disrupt it.
And it can disrupt it. That's why I'm saying you need this balcony demonstration. I can show you. Do you know that there's something called the energy field that emits from the body, the aura of the body, where you can, depending on how where you are in terms of your mental capacity, it will radiate a further distance away from the body.
It's interesting, I guess.
Measure
yeah.
that.
Mm-hmm. I guess.
Okay, and I mean, let's say a high tension, a power, if you look at a power line taking 11,000 volts through it, you look at it, you cannot see the power going through it, but it's there, man, and it can, in fact, kill you. You agree with that?
So I can't agree with it. I don't know. I'm seeking information.
Peter, all right, you know, all right, seriously, electricity. Can you see electricity?
I can't see electricity. No.
No, you see the manifestation of it, though.
Right, yes.
And you agree that I can kill you?
I also can't see Jesus Christ.
Well,
but some Peter, claim that they know he's
Peter,
there.
We're engaging in a serious conversation.
But it's come a serious on, conversation, and I'm told that electricity is like Jesus Christ. You can't see none of the two, but you know that they're there.
I'm going to use one of your terms. Come off of it. Let's discuss the issue at hand and stop bringing it.
Sir, I have heard, listen, let's get serious. I have heard the power line argument and the suggestion that people who live below power lines suffer sometimes.
That's not where I'm going.
That's not where you're going. Sorry. Okay.
No. I'm talking about something that can harm you that's invisible to the naked eye.
And I have no difficulty with that.
And it can kill you. I'm not dealing with what comes off the power line that can harm you in that way. I'm talking about if you actually came into contact with it, it can execute you, fray all the organs in your body.
Agreed, yeah.
Turn you into a crisp. That's what that's what I'm talking about.
Pretzel.
Okay? I know the address at White Hall. If the invitation is open to me, I'll find you.
Huh? Like I'm gonna have to have a little party soon, but another one.
you're a serious man. You don't really want to be enlightened.
You know, sir, my thing is that I get worried when I hear people saying, for example, that radiation is generated by cameras. And I mean, so many houses and buildings and so on have cameras. When you walk into a building, invariably there's a camera watching you. There's one watching me in the studio.
I'm saying that
if it is that I'm being told that radiation is being given off by a camera, I don't have a problem with it. But I'm just saying, just give me the evidence and tell me how it's likely to impact on my body in the short to medium term.
The problem you're having is that there are different levels. Okay, I use the high tension with 11,000 volt line. You can come into contact with a 110 volt line and you can hold on to it or touch it, and it would jerk you and all that, but it more than likely would not kill you. Okay, but if you had to constantly hold on to that same 110 and then daily go and hold on to that one, over time, it would impact on your body in a negative way. It would confuse all the circuitry in your body, the neurons firing, and you know, you would really, really have some serious impact on your functionality of your body. And as I said, it could even end up killing you over time.
Somebody is here saying, Peter, we all should have a field, but when we have toxins in our body, these diminish within that field. I can attest to this because I had mine checked yesterday. Do you know anything about that?
Say again.
That's a field in the body which diminishes toxins.
A field,
yeah.
That's metaphysics. We're getting into the area of metaphysics, it is possible, but that's a subject for another time. I wouldn't want to go on to that one now. But look, man, you need a lot of enlightenment, man, Peter. Mm-hmm. Look, if you're serious, we'll see if we can take it
chat.
Yeah, have a good afternoon, man.
All right, sir. Thanks for calling. I'm not opposed to learning and understanding. It's just the way the information is conveyed. I think there has to be a certain persuasiveness to the arguments that are being put forward. And they seem entirely reasonable that it could be the case. But as I said, the persuasion. Down to brass tacks. Good afternoon. Good afternoon and welcome. You're on the air.
Hello.
Good afternoon and welcome. How are you?
Good afternoon, sir. How are you doing?
I'm good. And yourself?
Not too bad.
Mm-hmm.
I'm the last boy that on, right?
You are likely to be the last person that's on, yes.
All right. I called today to discuss about the corruption that... And it's something that will never happen again in this country, because when these people that you put to run the country do these things, it puts the poor people life at risk and put the poor people to suffer. Because right now, a lot of what they do got people and the country in a lot of trouble. And it's something that I would never, ever like to see in this country again. I never really liked the bill to get serious and stamp it out. That it would be something that would never allow to happen both in this country again. So I don't know what you have to say about it.
The future, or be guided by the past regarding what needs to be done in the future. And I've always been saying, look, let's not focus on locking up people. Let's focus on developing regulations and rules and structures to ensure that it can never happen again. But I agree with you entirely, sir.
Yes, please. Yeah. And my last comment is, I would like to the bus service, especially is very poor with the country people got depend on the transport board buses. Because I would like the Ministry of Transports and Works, because a lot of these people that got minivans, the big buses supposed to run at a certain destination, because right now Transport Board is in a lot of trouble, and people really that got to get to work on morning sometimes, they be left scrambling. I would like to see the NTW put the license authority put some kind of methods in place that these people that supposed to, if you supposed to go Connell Town, let your bus go to Connell Town. If you supposed to go by Corner, if you get where you're coming back from, because it will help ease the situation with people that the transport board buses can't fill in. Because people just feel that you're getting work late and you can't, and you're doing it for purpose. But sometimes it's that you don't want to get in the buses to bring out the people.
So what you're really talking about is a private-public sector cooperative regarding public transport.
Yeah.
And, sir, something I can agree with you entirely. There are several ways of approaching it, but we need to find a way that allows private and public sector vehicles to participate in the delivery of services, especially to areas that are rural and especially are areas that are not well served by the transport board, by the public private concessionaires now.
Yes, please, because I mean, if the transport board doing one half, the minibus could do another half. If you supposed to go Connell Town, go Connell Town. If you supposed to go George Hill, go George Hill. But the fellas coming in, Spikestown, turn around and back
going
up
back,
the town.
Right. Because they figure they make enough money already. And I agree with you, sir. You know, we need to have penalties associated with people who are assigned to a route, who shorten the route. They need to go to the entire end of the route. And I think that there also needs to be a greater route distribution where some of the areas that are like in St. John and St. Andrew and things that don't have vans should have vans.
Yeah, it's something that want enforcing. Yeah. You see the men enforcing it and the fellas leaving town, coming to spot some turn around because they don't want to go to Connell Town because they figure everything out. They know they're going to lose their money.
It needs
to get something in order for the to help the people in the country, especially that got to depend on the buses, man. So I would like to see something that then come up with something to really take the pressure off of some. Because transport board is struggling, as you can see, and then the people in the country suffering too, because it means now that a morning that 7 o'clock bus don't come out. People out there are left stranded, you know?
And we can't have that.
Well, I really would like to see the NTW men get serious and let these men go where they're supposed to go.
Okay.
Or withdraw the permit.
One of the two. That sounds reasonable to me.
Right? Yeah, you know?
All right, sir. Well, I want to thank you again. You have something else?
No, please.
You did. Okay. I want to thank you for calling and for bringing today's program to a close. I want to read one final email, and this is with respect to water bills. Peter, I still contend that tacking a tax onto a virtual utility such as water basically is inhumane and unconstitutional. To some, it may look smart, but to me, it's a type of tax collection method long outlawed. And all human beings deserve unimpeded access to necessities to sustain human life. And as I said earlier, you know, the question of a person not being able to pay for water or pay the tax attached to water is a reasonable one, and certainly in situations where there is demonstrated need, there are agencies that can provide assistance to pay the water bill and the tax as well, if necessary. So I think that what people should do, if they're having genuine hardships, they should approach the welfare department and see if some facility can be made to provide assistance to cover those bills. In the absence of that, pay your bill on time and in full, and you will not be disconnected. It sounds fairly straightforward to me. The Grenada situation is one in which water and sewage is together. The Trinidad and Tobago situation is one in which water and sewage is together. There are several precedents where water and sewage are together. And the reason is, of course, pretty obvious. If you flush a toilet, you understand why water and sewage go together. So it's so it goes. Special thanks to the production team today, to Mr. Dennis Johnson. We had a fairly good program, heated. Nonetheless, it helps to make the job interesting. So I never mind. Don't worry about that. Mr. Larry Mears is coming in shortly to take you through the next few hours of your radio day. And my name is Peter Wickham. It was good to be with you. Do have a great weekend, and I'll see you back next Tuesday on Down to Brass Tacks.